The Lord is indeed near us and calling us to trust in Him. Oh, what a beautiful song there to remind us. And you know, we need to be reminded from time to time. We forget. We get caught up in the world around us, and we forget. We forget about Jesus. We forget about God's Son. We forget about what we are called to do as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. We forget what it means to be baptized in Christ. And, you know, we make a decision, and we come before the church, and we have all our family and our friends and everybody here. We bring our babies, and it's a wonderful thing. But people so easily forget what that's all about. Somebody once told me, you've heard this story before, but a good story is worth telling, isn't it? Somebody has talked about having the squirrels or mice in the church, and we've had them in here from time to time. And somebody said, well, all you got to do is we just baptize them, and they won't come to church anymore. That's funny, but it's true. I could sit right here and go name after name. And I could look out there and I say, where are they? Well, maybe they're at another church. Maybe I'm being too judgmental. I'm not supposed to. You know, we don't want to get into judgment mode. We want to talk about grace. Grace is great. Love is wonderful. You know, showing radical hospitality, all those things are great. But when we are called to be followers of Jesus Christ, it is supposed to mean something. We're supposed to change. So anyway, that song, Jim, just moved me into, wow, that's true. You know, He is near us. And we forget, and thank you, Jim, by the way. Deborah, have you been at early service before? Stand up. This is Deborah Lauder. This is Jim's wife, Deborah. And, you know, they've come to be with us in worship, and I want you to recognize who she is, and we're thankful that she's here, and pray for her. She had an interview at one of the elementary schools here in Outer Banks, and, you know, we want to pray that job opens up for her here. So got to move in that direction. So please do that. And then, I know I'm going to get to preaching here in a minute, but I just, you know, Frank and Becky here, today is their anniversary, 46 years. And you know the challenges. And you know, they're fighting it. You know, she's fighting a terrible disease. And we need to keep them in our prayers as well as many, many others. So I'm just thankful they're here, that she felt like even just being here today. And what a powerful testimony that is. Well, I'm going to read from, you figure out what the lesson's about today on baptism. Did you figure that out? And thank you for praying for me. I feel a lot better. I don't think what I've got is catchy, but you can still hear just maybe a twinge in my throat. But let's see what the Holy Spirit says to us today. Reading from Matthew, the third chapter, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Did you get that? Then Jesus allowed John the Baptist to baptize him. He allowed. He allowed it. The Son of God allowed John the Baptist to baptize him. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. John the Baptist preached a sermon on forgiveness of sins and repentance. Jesus was sinless. Why would he need to be baptized according to what John's preaching was? Jesus was righteous. Why would he need to be baptized? It's not about being baptized doesn't forgive a person of their sin. Only Jesus does that. So why did Jesus allow John to baptize him? Because he was fulfilling the will of God. He was being obedient to his heavenly Father. In this particular instance, righteous means being obedient to God's plan and God's will for his life. When he had been baptized, Jesus came immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened up to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and it alighted upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let us pray. God, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures, for the power of your Holy Spirit, for these words that have been written for us by men moved by the Holy Spirit, so that we might gain knowledge, so that we might grow, so that we too might be proclaimers of that message to others. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the shows that I really, one of the shows I like to watch, our favorite movies, is Forrest Gump. In the very beginning of the movie Forrest Gump, and some of you might remember, I probably used this before, but I think it's a little bit different insight this morning. In the very beginning of that movie, if you remember, it starts out with a panorama of the heavens, and we see the feather of a dove floating through the air. You remember that? And this feather, as it floats, we see it going to different places and in different things. And it looks like it's gonna alight. It looks like it's gonna fall right there, but it doesn't. The wind just keeps moving it, and it moves, and we see all these things happening. And then this feather alights on Forrest Gump. He's the person that, and immediately we know that Forrest Gump is being set apart in this movie, that he's the one, if you want to say it, God's favor or providence or whatever you want to say it, is come to him. And it's calling him out. This is the one that this movie is about. And then as you see the rest that I show you, we realize what that means for a person like Forrest Gump. Because Forrest Gump didn't have it all together. He was not born with all the natural abilities and grace, according to the movie, and wisdom and understanding and savvy that many of us are born with, or given with. And so throughout this show, it shows the difficulties, and it shows the problems, and it shows the challenges that he goes through because of his background, because of his lack of abilities, because of his different challenges, his love life, and all of these things. But we are told from the very beginning that there's something different about this guy. And so we come to the scriptures today on baptism. And we realize right away that Jesus is being carded by God. Jesus is being ID'd by God in this passage of Scripture. The Scriptures tell us, you know, that John the Baptist had many people coming to the Jordan River. Jesus wasn't the only one that was coming. He had many folks come into that river to be baptized. How did he know that Jesus was the one? He recognized it. Well, maybe he felt it in his heart. Maybe he felt it in his spirit. You know, because we know in the very beginning that when he was in the womb, that he jumped when Mary came into the room when she was pregnant and Elizabeth was pregnant. How did John the Baptist ID Jesus in that river amongst all the people that were? John said he was coming. Did they play together as cousins? The scriptures doesn't tell us that. You know, had they known each other? Had they actually met, you know, and met one another? You probably got cousins you've never met, haven't you? Would you recognize them? If somebody hadn't shown you a picture of them? How did he know? But he knew. The Bible tells us that he knew that there was just something special. There was this heart. There was this spirit. There was this aura about this man. And it only makes sense. He's the Son of God. But nobody's heard from him over, you know, it's been about 30 years here. The scriptures don't tell us anything about Jesus from the time he's 12 until this moment in time in his life. So who would know who he was? Except maybe his closest family and friends. Who would know? And so in that moment in time, Jesus is identified by God as God's Son. Not only does Jesus identify him as God's Son, John the Baptist identifies him as one who is greater than he is. And in the moment of his baptism, we're told that the Holy Spirit and a voice from heaven affirms and confirms who this Jesus is, the Son of God. And the scriptures say, listen to him. You know, in order to be a child of God, one that's come out and set apart, and you know, baptism. What baptism does is it identifies a person or a baby as part of the kingdom of God. It identifies them as such. God's loving grace arms reaching out and saying, you're welcome. Doesn't mean they're saved. It just means that a person is deemed worthy in God's eyes and in God's sight to be a part of what God has to offer through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's freely given to a person. But that person has to respond to it. The water is just an outward sign of what God's calling, what the church is calling us to do. It can't save you. The water can't save you. The water can't cleanse your sin. Remember I said Jesus was sinless. baptism is an act of obedience. Jesus letting John the Baptist baptize him was an act of obedience. He is the Son of God, the Son of the living God. Why should John the Baptist baptize me? I'm greater than, there could have been a big ego problem here, but there wasn't. The Son of God, in humbleness, in willingness, allowed John the Baptist to baptize him. Why? Because it was going to make John the Baptist look good? No. Because it was going to enhance John the Baptist's ministry? No. John the Baptist's ministry wanes. Jesus' ministry increases. I'll let him baptize me because I don't want him to feel bad? No. Might hurt his feelings? No. Jesus did it because that's to fulfill, to obey God and fulfill what God had in store for him. To teach him and also to publicly identify Jesus' ministry with all those around. You know, in the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You've seen that movie. Remember the three convicts, they escape and they're out and they're going through the woods and they see these people going through the woods, and so they follow them, folks in white, and they're heading to the water. And they follow them to the water. Of course, these guys, you know, they're thieves, they're connivers, they're whatever. And when they get to it, two of them go into the water to be baptized. And remember, one of the kids, he says, he goes into the water and the preacher baptizes him and he comes out. And the other guy said, what did you do? The preacher said that I have been baptized and all my sins have been forgiven. That pig that I stole, I've been forgiven for stealing that pig. To which the other guy said, but you said you were innocent of that. He said, yeah, but I've lied and I've been forgiven of that too. And then it goes on. And so, of course, they move out of the water, you know, sing, and then they come by this farmhouse. And the lady puts this fresh apple pie on the windowsill. And, of course, you know, they can't go by that without taking it. So when they grab it and they go out. But he comes back later on and he puts money up on the windowsill to pay for the pie. Signifying that baptism, that what happened in that water made a change in this thief's life. He was changed. And that moment in time in which the preacher in which he met Jesus there in the water, a change came from within. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put the money up on the windowsill, would he? He wouldn't have felt guilty for it. So as Jesus is identified there in that moment in time, so we are called to identify ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, how was that done? How do people identify you? You know, how do they identify? By your last name? Because you lived on the islands all your life? Because of what you do? You know, I can pull out my wallet. I can show you your credit card with my name on it. I can show you my driver's license with my name on it. I can show you my veteran's card with my name on it. And if I hand those to somebody, that identifies me. It's who I am. I get on the internet, and you got to have an email, and you got to have a password. You have to identify yourself in order to receive the help that you need, the product that you need. But what identifies the Christian, the person that has committed their lives, who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and has been baptized into the church, and has said, yes, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? What identifies them? What calls them out? What makes them different? What makes you different? What makes me different than any other person? It's your obedience. It's your obedience to what God has called you and me to do. When Jesus came out of that water, he demonstrated for John, he demonstrated to God, he demonstrated to John the Baptist, and he demonstrated to all who saw him his humbleness and readiness to serve God. When he came up out of that water at his baptism, he received the Holy Spirit. And so we too say we received the Holy Spirit when we invite Jesus Christ into our lives. We too receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. When Jesus came up out of that water, a voice from heaven says, you are my son. You belong to me. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and we are baptized in the church, we become God's children, heirs to his throne. Why don't we act like it? Why don't we act like it? Why don't we live like it? Why don't we preach and teach like it? All that Jesus received on that moment, we too. We too have that same opportunity has been given to us. That same moment, that same power or grace or spirit or whatever you want to call it has been given. It's no different. What God has given to his son, he's given to you and to me. Isn't that awesome? That's powerful right there. Jesus was willing to do the mission that God had called him to do. Why aren't we willing to do that? Help me, church. Why don't we hold our people accountable? Why don't we hold one another accountable when we baptize infants, when we that join the church and we don't see any fruit. We don't see any fruit of their calling, of their being called apart. Help me. Why don't we hold them accountable? Oh, we can't do that. We might hurt somebody's feelings. It's frustrating. As your pastor, it's frustrating. Because I know what you've been given. I know the vows that you made. I know the public display of your faith that you made. What happens? You don't like the preacher? I can go. You don't like the worship team? Well, we can get some more, I guess. Oh, you don't like the stained glass windows in this church? It doesn't look like a modern day church. Well, I guess we could tear it down, build it up, but that wouldn't go over too well. Don't like the music. Tell me that when you come up here to be baptized, and I'll say, we don't want you in this church. God doesn't want you. It's frustrating. What can we do? What can I do? What can you do? Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to be humble and obedient. And God used him in a powerful and wonderful way. One last story. You remember the Lion King? You remember Simba, the Lion King? He was the heir to the throne, to the kingdom. I brought this up a couple weeks ago. This is a different part of that, okay? So don't say, here you go, preachers. Well, he tells the same story all the time. That's another reason I suppose you don't need to come to church. I don't know. But you want to go hear somebody else? Simba lost his identity. You remember in that story? Because he felt guilty because Scar had convinced him that he had caused his father's death. Remember that story? And so he ran off. That's what we do when we feel guilty sometimes, don't we? We don't feel like anybody loves us anymore. Nobody cares. Nobody knows our story. And so we feel like they won't accept us. They won't receive us. And so he goes running off to join a warthog and some other little thing. And he tries to become one of them. You know, eat what they eat and whatever. But then comes that moment in time when he is called back to do what he was originally called to do. And Rafiki, you know, the baboon, the wisdom guy in this show, I guess supposed to be, you know, he has a cane. He brings him up to the water. And he tells him, he says, Simba, look into the water. You'll see your father in there. And he looks into the water. And he says, all I see is myself. Rafiki says, look harder. And he looks into the water. And he hears his father's voice. Simba, you have forgotten who you were. Remember who you are. I get chill bumps thinking about it. Isn't that awesome? You know the rest of the story. He goes back and takes his rightful position. Because while he's away, remember I told you, the kingdom just went. And that's what happened. If we, as the body of Christ, and individual believers don't remember who we are and what we are called to do. As they say, the world will go to hell in a handbasket. What is your ID? What identifies you as God's child, as God's obedient follower, as God's humble servant? What identifies you? What other people say about you? Then you're messing up. Who you are, what you are, what your career is, you're messing up. What identifies you is God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, His Son. You can't go wrong. being tied into those things. Do you need to remember who you are today and what you're called to do? Do you need to remember? Maybe you need to change your identification today, right now, at this time and place, by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you want to have a real identity, that's where it starts. What's your ID? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we gather as the people of God, as we heard your word and as we witnessed this awesome story of the baptism of your Son and the hearing of the voice and the presence of the Holy Spirit like a dove, the scriptures tell us. And as we are told to be obedient, to listen to him, Lord, you're not calling us to do anything that you didn't call your Son to do and that your Son wasn't willing to do. Lord Jesus, we want to be identified with you this day and always. When we stray from the path, call us back. If we don't know the path, may we get on it today. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.